Adolf Hitler.
Judas Iscariot.
Vlad the Impaler.
Jeffrey Dahmer.
Muammar Gaddafi.
So what do all these people have in common?
Well, I'm going to tell you, they were all extremely difficult people. And today, on Smalley Marriage Radio, you're going to learn four things you can do to survive the difficult people in your life. Hey, they might not be a Dahmer, or a Hitler, or a Stalin, or any other horrible person. Yeah, thankfully. But the reality is, we know that you have someone, or someone's, plural, in your life that cause havoc. Welcome to Smalley Marriage Radio. I am your host, Michael Smalley, with my producer and co-host, Seth Johnson. Joining us once again at the mics, my father, Dr. Gary Smalley.
Good morning.
Good morning. If you have a difficult marriage, then find out how you can reignite your relationship in just 2 days with one of our private one-on-one reignite programs for hurting couples. Call us at 800-975-8748, or as always, visit us on the web at smalleyinstitute.com, because folks, the reignite program works. It's powerful. It's private. You don't have to sit in a group with a bunch of weirdos that you don't know and share all of your intimate details. It's just you and one of our trained coaches, and it has a very high success rate. So, guys, today we're talking about how to handle a difficult person. Do either of you have difficult people in your life?
Yes.
Very. And it can't be me.
Oh.
I want that rule.
I just tried to say you, but yeah. You canceled that.
Why? So both of you were about to say me.
Well, we know you.
No, you're like the most amazing, multi-talented person I know in life, and you're the most fun person that I know.
See, this is why we keep bringing him on the show, Seth.
I feel like maybe you guys need a hug for a moment.
Dad speaks the truth.
He's not jaded at all.
If you want a relationship like my father and I, you just keep listening to the show.
Amen.
I'm telling you, or buy a lot of resources on the website. That does help. That helps the show keep going, actually. Yes. Well, we're dealing with difficult people, and we all have them. Sometimes that difficult person is staring us in the mirror, mm-hmm. right? So it is yep. me. It's you, Seth, and you, Dad. But sometimes it's our spouse, our children, coworkers, a boss, an in-law.
Yes.
Right? So it's people. No one's perfect. There's this little problem with the world called sin.
I've heard of that.
I know. It really gets in the way of a healthy relationship. I'm telling you. So, how do you deal with difficult people? We're going to give you four things that you can do to survive difficult people in your life. And all right, fine. So, since you guys already both pointed at me, mm-hmm. very judgmentally, I might add.
Right, it is with righteous judgment, though.
Righteous judgment. Wow, man, I wish I wasn't sitting so close to you right now, because things are going to happen. But since you guys have already called me out on this one, recently, Dad, you're staying with us right now, getting some second opinions.
Health matters.
Yeah, how's it going?
Great.
You're happy with the doctors.
I love the new three doctors. Love my 5-star. Healthcare people.
That would be me, Seth.
And Amy.
And my lovely wife, who I learned all of my hospitality from, because I was born in the North. Mm-hmm. So Northerners were like, whatever, you're on your own. These Southerners, man, they like to care for people. So Amy's rubbed off on me in 20 mm-hmm. years, finally.
I agree.
Well, and speaking with Amy, Dad, you may or may not be aware of this, but pretty much 2 days before you arrived to our house, okay, to come down and get some second opinions, Amy was finishing up a 3-day intensive, mm-hmm. right? So the Reignite program, you can come for 1, 2, or 3 days, just depending yep. on what you need. And, well, to be really loving, mm-hmm. I thought, you know, it'd be a great thing, because she wanted me to get the decorations going and put the lights up outside. And I thought, well, she's gone today, I'm going to pull out all the Christmas decorations.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just, you know, bring in the boxes, the bags, the different mm-hmm. things. And I'll put all the indoor stuff. I'll just bring that in the house, lay it around in various, you know, disorganized piles. And then I'll start doing the outdoor lights, because that's usually my job. because I'm so outdoorsy. And so I did that thinking, you know, she's going to be so happy. And I got to give her credit. When she came home from a long, you know, day of intensive work.
The third day of draining.
Yes.
Intensive work. Yeah.
I'm, you know, in hindsight, what do they say about hindsight? It's always
2020.
Yeah. Well, in hindsight, I now know I'm an idiot. But at the time, I thought, oh, she's going to be so happy. So she came home. She saw the outdoor lights, was very happy. And then she came in. I will give her all the credit in the world. She did not melt down. She didn't go like, what were you thinking? We don't have enough time to put all this stuff up. Now I have this massive mess in the home and your dad's coming. But eventually that built up because I'm difficult. Because I think my problem, usually I'm a pretty sweet guy. I mean, I don't know if either of you would.
No comment. That's fine.
All right. I'm a kind-hearted person.
Very true.
But I'm an idiot. And so there are things that I will do with good intentions that, you know, blow up in my face. And then later I look back and go, yeah, what were you thinking?
Yeah. Others don't see those good intentions.
No. No, they don't. So by the evening, it sort of escalated into an argument because she was stressed out, right? She's thinking, how can I clean up this entire mess before my ailing, sick father-in-law shows up? Because that would be embarrassing. I think any woman can relate to that.
She wants to provide a comfortable place so that when you get here, it's relaxing and
clean.
Clean, yeah.
Yeah, that's a normal deal.
And what she really doesn't understand about me is that I didn't even see that stuff.
Yeah, you know what's funny is I tried to make that argument at one point, and it didn't get received well.
Yeah, not going to happen.
Amy, why are you so stressed? My dad's not even in a care. Which was invalidating. Uh-huh. And again, though, I mean, the whole point of this illustration is I was being a difficult person. And so what do we do? Well, we're going to give you four things today that you can do that will help you survive a difficult person. Let's jump into number one. It's a concept my wife and I, Amy and I, wrote an entire book on this one concept alone.
Oh.
We call it the power of one, or it's personal responsibility. But here's what we need you to remember. You are in control of your emotions and your reactions. Mm. So ultimately, the truth of the matter is it doesn't matter how difficult the person is. You can still be okay because you don't need them to be easy in order to be happy in life. Does that strike either of you in an angry way?
No, but I love it.
What do you love about it, Dad?
Well, it is, I've simplified it even further. I made it more sixth grade level so that I can apply it every day.
What level was I at?
Probably junior high.
Isn't that sixth grade?
Eighth grade tops.
Eighth grade is... All right, okay. I was at eighth grade. So take it down to a sixth grade level.
All right, okay, so... Okay, I'm going to try to explain it in seconds, if I can.
Don't worry, if you go too long, I'll cut you off.
Okay, all right, so you and your brother have been teaching me for years that I'm responsible for my own emotions and my own quality of life, because I am what I think. Whether I like it or not, I am what I think. And so what has really freed me over the last several, at least 10 years that I've been learning this concept, is that I get to decide how I'm going to think about whatever happens to me. And so what I've been doing is that I have been thinking things like when Scripture says that God causes all things to work together for good to those that love Him and are called according to His purpose, and His purpose is for me to love others. And so what I've been doing is thinking that thought, especially that thought, that God's turning everything negative in my life, which means the negative people in my life, into something good for me. And so I thank God. I give thanks. I'm a very grateful person for anything and everything that happens to me. So I thank God. instead of blowing up or instead of saying, this is terrible, this is happening to me, or that.
Like melting down, ruminating over how miserable this person is.
Yeah, or how miserable life is. I'm in a health problem right now. I could be lamenting about how bad off I am, but instead I'm thanking God, trusting Him with all my heart. I'm not leaning onto my own understanding. All my ways, everything all day long, I acknowledge Him, and I'm letting Him guide me. And there's times where you take me places or do this, or you took me from Colorado Springs down here, and I wasn't really sure, but it's turned out to be wonderful. Three new doctors that are brilliant and great, and your friends. Mm-hmm. And so this has been a great, this has turned out to be a great experience. But I've not worried one time. I've not griped, complained.
No, you haven't.
And so, and the reason is because.
Are you saying you're suppressing all of these negative things?
No, no, no. What I'm
things?
Saying is that I'm actively thanking God for leading me, and I'm trusting Him. And so, therefore, my mood follows that. And so I know how to manage my own emotions.
Well, I'm curious of the youngest member of this trio right now. Seth, yeah. How does that strike you?
Well, just the what you said right there, you're active in your reactions to things. Mm-hmm. You don't just take things in the first feeling that you have, but you are deciding how you're going to react to things, and you're going to take what God's given you in this positive light that He's
exactly.
All right, fine. If you're not going to ask the hard questions, I'll ask the hard questions.
Okay. Okay.
So what I'm hearing, I'm just playing devil's advocate because I know someone's listening going, yeah, right, but you don't know my life. You don't know the person I'm struggling with. Mm-hmm. You're telling me that if I'm just thankful for this miserable thing, that I'm going to start feeling and thinking differently about it?
Yeah, because see, I now know at 74 years of age that God does turn stuff that's negative into positive in your life.
James 1 verse 2, which is the verse I use when I sign any book for someone.
Yeah.
Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials.
Trials.
Ooh, what a weird thing for
him to say. But here's the thing. I don't thank God for the emotional pain. What I do is I say, see, Jesus said, out of a man's heart flows all of his thoughts, words, and emotions. Mm-hmm. So out of my heart. So I guard my heart by thinking his thoughts. And I'm building a whole warehouse of in my heart of gratefulness. So it's really hard to penetrate that today.
Oh, it is. And so number one is we have to take personal responsibility, and how we think about the difficult person or the trial we're going through impacts our thinking on it.
And I focus on what's coming that I know is good.
And so you're listening to Smalley Marriage Radio. I am Michael Smalley, along with co-host and producer Seth Johnson, my father, Dr. Gary Smalley. If you'd like to know more about our show or the Reignite program, where you can literally change your relationship in just 48 hours, go to SmalleyInstitute.com. You can also call us toll-free at 1-800-975-8748. And, you know, guys, we just recently launched a membership portion of our website. So I want to encourage folks to visit SmalleyInstitute.com. You can see up in the upper right, it says become a member. That membership gives you access to amazing videos. First of all, Dad, I have your hidden keys to loving, lasting relationships. All 21 sessions are on there.
They get that free?
They get that with a membership.
Oh, the membership.
And the membership costs money.
Wow.
So they don't get it free.
Right.
But it's only $179 a year. Well, and you get the hidden keys. You get the surprising way to a stronger marriage. You get secrets to lasting love. You get literally there's nearly 100 hours worth of video studies that come with that membership.
Wow.
It's actually a pretty super cool thing. And there's several assessments for your personality. We have an 8-question test that predicts divorce 93% accurately.
Yeah.
And what's so good about that is you can take it. It'll tell you where your relationship is. Green light, keep going, doing good. Yellow, caution. Red is, oh boy, you're going to get in trouble. So go to SmalleyInstitute.com, check out our membership option, and you will be able to continue growing your relationship. So number one, you got to take personal responsibility. Number two, you got to keep above the clouds. And really, Dad, that's a lot of what you were talking about. But some people, especially some difficult people in your life that maybe isn't your spouse or isn't your child, that coworker, that boss, some people aren't worth dealing with. Like, yep. It's not worth engaging in their ridiculousness.
Yeah, I think this has a huge impact on, honestly, people even my age and younger, especially with all the social media and, you know, Facebook friends and all that. People think that they need to placate to all these people and they need to always be engaged.
They have to defend themselves.
Yeah, exactly. And realizing that, no, you don't need to. You don't have to engage that person.
Hey, you'd be interesting to know this. I interviewed your 12-year-old son today.
Oh, boy.
David. And I said, what's your favorite thing Jesus said? He said, instantly, he said, oh, my favorite thing is when he said, don't worry about anything. Yeah. And so he explained that to me. It was brilliant.
My 12-year-old did that.
Yeah, your 12-year-old, he said, Grandpa, in the long run, people can harm you and you're going to grow more like Christ. But he said, ultimately, they could actually kill you, but the best thing of all is you're in heaven. So he says, since God turns everything good into our life that's difficult, what's to worry about? So yeah. I said, you've actually stopped worrying at 12? Yep. He says, I don't worry anymore.
Well, he is just 12, so.
Yeah, but that's great.
Those kind of smarts definitely came from Amy.
Yeah. It came from good DNA.
That's good.
Well, I do the same thing with every one of my kids that you did with me. I tell them the most important thing in life is to honor God, others, and yourself.
Yeah.
But then the other part is treasure hunting trials.
That's what he did.
Yeah. It's that those aren't bad things. He used to tell me, Seth, when he was tucking me into bed, that remember, nothing bad can ever happen to a Christian. And some people hear that and they go, what?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, think of a person who was molested or raped or someone who's been beaten or someone who had someone killed and they're like, that was a horrible. Okay, yes, sin happens. Those are bad things. But ultimately, nothing bad can happen. Because as a believer, A, we know where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
And then B, God promises scripturally all throughout scripture. He says, hey, that bad thing that happened to you, I'm going to take it, turn it around, and turn it into good.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore,
and that's what we focus on, what he's turning it into. Otherwise, you'll tend to focus on the bad thing.
And when you focus on the bad thing, everything's bad.
Yep.
That's the reality of perception. All right, so number one is the power of one, personal responsibility. Number two, keep above the cloud. Sometimes that difficult person isn't worth dealing with. And then number three is you need to find your happy house, or as Brian Regan would say, who is one of my favorite comedians.
Hilarious.
Please don't make me go back. Please. You said that would be a happy house.
The reality is that you need to look for the good in the person or situation. And so Brian Regan in that clip says, you have to find your happy house. You promised this would be a happy house. Dad, that's what you were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is that I have a choice on how I feel. See, people think they're victims, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they think, oh, this bad thing happened to me. Therefore, I have to be angry. I have to be miserable. I have to be depressed. And what we're challenging today is, no, I don't have to be all those things, right? I mean, I have an option.
Right. I know now at my age that God's going to do something good with this stuff in my life. I just have to wait for it. But I know it's coming, so that's what I just relax and say it's coming.
Well, what happens, though, if it doesn't come as you expect it to be? So what if in your brain, you know, my wife is going to change, my husband's going to change, my parent is going to change, that boss is going to get healthier.
That may not happen.
So, well, what do we do with our expectations then?
But you're going to change. God's going to give you the blessing. He's going to give you a benefit. You're going to feel it and see it. Like when I was lying in the hospital so many times the last 4 months and just miserable, sick, headache, all this stuff, I just thanked God for it and said, good's coming. I'll just endure this because it's not going to last forever. Doctors kept saying, you're going to feel better before you know it. You know, I just said, okay.
And what, this show is about to get real. What good, so you've been in a kind of physical health nightmare since July 30th.
Right.
Right, and you had a septuple bypass surgery.
5 arteries.
Yeah, well, but they had to do 7 bypasses.
Yes, that's right.
I don't know what the 5 thing was.
That's right. I don't either.
That's the medicine talking.
That's right.
Is there anything good that you have discovered so far in this journey? Give me one.
You and Amy?
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
Wow. I honestly did not expect that. What about...
And a super closer relationship with Amy than I've ever had. We're now BFFs.
Yeah.
Happened because she went through all this stuff with me. Yeah, she actually stayed in the... Excuse me. She actually stayed in the hospital room where you did too. Yeah, you guys have become 5-star caretakers, and I didn't even know that.
So that has been a blessing.
Big, big benefit and blessing.
I remember the other night, my dad used to call, growing up, he used to call these Smalley family meetings, which as a kid I despised.
Right, as
you did. I was like, no, not another one. Well, in his honor, a couple of nights ago, I was like, you know what? We need a Smalley family meeting to talk about, I think I said an old-fashioned Smalley family meeting. To talk about an upcoming trip that Dad and I are going to have to hang back on for further testing. And what was one of the things, I thought it was pretty neat, Amy brought up during that meeting at some point, that maybe one of your big needs is to feel wanted.
Yeah.
Remember how you responded to that? That was a really sweet, that caused a lot of tears. Funny enough, though, is the same amount of tears that he shed when I took him to the Baylor versus Kansas State game. He was so happy because we won. All right, number 4, this is the last one, is you need to learn how to set boundaries. So here's the truth, folks. You don't have to be friends. You don't have to answer that phone. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go over to that in-law or even that parent. People earn the right to have a relationship with you. So if they're being miserable or difficult and they're choosing not to change, then even when they're family members, you don't have to go over there, answer that email. There's even times I've had in my life with difficult people where I told them, where I had to set up filters on my email so I didn't have to deal with their emails. And so, folks, boundaries are simply things that you set in relationships. And you can read the book by Cloud and Townsend. It's a brilliant book. But a boundary says, hey, listen, I am a lot more valuable than how you're treating me, and so I'm not okay with that. And so a boundary helps you not enable people's bad behavior. And it's an incredible, incredible tool to deal with difficult people.
I think this is another thing that ties into what I mentioned earlier about this, my generation and younger with the friends and social networking is setting those boundaries, and I do not have to engage with this person because we're so much involved in this interconnected world these days, and just like I said, setting those healthy boundaries where, like, I don't have to engage this person, I don't need to answer the phone, I don't need to hang out with them, spend time with them, and that's fine.
And it's okay, and it's actually the most loving thing you can do for someone, especially when they're being difficult. Well, folks, I just want to remind you, don't forget, if you go to smalleyinstitute.com, you can become a member, and you gain access to a tremendous amount of marriage and parenting studies that will literally make a radical change for any of your most important relationships. I've reached that part in the show where there's really only one thing left to say.
And now, it is time to say goodbye.
Smalley Marriage Radio is brought to you by the Smalley Institute. If your marriage is on life support, reignite your relationship in just 2 days. Find out more at smalleyinstitute.com or call us at 1-800-975-8748.